Genesis 25. We're going to take a visit to Abraham tonight. He has just had his 175th birthday. If they celebrated birthdays then as we do now, there would be a lot of candles involved, and it might be a problem to get them all lit and get them all blown out again. But we go into the tent, and we find that it is Abram's last day on earth. A deathbed scene. A scene where one may weep one's eyes out, but not Abraham. Not Abraham. We are told in the 8th verse that Abram gave up the ghost and died in a good old age. An old man and full. Full. Now it says full of years, but I want you to notice that the two words of years are in italics. We can take them or leave them. They are supplied by the translator as the obvious reading, but we could well stop at the word full and pause there. It has the meaning that he was satisfied. In the hour of his death, he was satisfied. And as we draw near to Abram, as he lies inside his tent, and we listen to his breathing that's waxing and waning, we ask Abram one question. Is it well? Abram, are you ready to go? There is only one answer from Abram. There's only one reply. He is full. He's had a full life. He has had a full opportunity to serve his God. He has finished his work on earth. And he's at peace, ready to go. What about you tonight? Could you say that you're satisfied and you're ready to go into eternity? Are you ready to pass over? Could you lay down your life tonight and say, I'm satisfied, I'm ready, I'm at peace. I have no unfinished business, either with God or with men. I'm ready to pass over. He had a full life, a full household, a full testimony before the world, and now he has a full soul. What a wonderful thing, what a wonderful testimony. That when he comes to his last hour on earth, he has a fullness of soul. We know what it is to have fullness of soul from time to time. We know what it is to be in the blessing of God and in the presence of God when we feel like singing, we feel like shouting, we're on the victory ground with God. But then we have our health and we have our strength and we have many things to rejoice in. Could we do that in the very last hour and moments as life drains away? Abram had a full life. He lived over twice the average age of men today. And yet time ran out. There came the hour that he must die. And it will creep up on you too. Sometimes we think it's so far away. It'll never come to me. But it will. Like sand running through a timer, that sand is trickling away, and the appointed time is soon to come. And all the medicine in the world and all the technology in the world will not extend that date, because God has a black X marked on his calendar, the hour and the day of your death. And you're not going to change it. It is appointed unto man once to die, and there is a time to live and a time to die, and God has that time set out. Now, medicine and technology may extend the quality of our life. It may improve the enjoyment of life physically, but it will not make us live longer. That date is set. It is fixed. And no one is going to run from it. Therefore the question comes, are you ready? Let us learn from Abraham what it means to die full, to die satisfied and at peace with your state before God. Abram was satisfied with his son and his future Savior. For Abram's salvation was all wrapped up in Isaac, his son, because it was through him that he could look down the generations and time and say, through Isaac and through his sons and lineage would come forth my Savior. And he died in faith of the Lord Jesus. He died full of faith. He could see Christ's day. He could see that day when the Lord would come into the world and bear away his sins. And so Abraham was satisfied with his son. And in the covenant of the gospel that was given to Abraham, the covenant was in Isaac. And in Isaac, the Savior would come. He was justified and clothed in the righteousness of Christ. And he was satisfied that his Savior would finish the work. That was great faith for a man living hundreds of years before Calvary. He believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. And therefore he was satisfied that he could die in the justifying work of the Lord Jesus. But he also died in fellowship with God. Abram was called the friend of God. Was he still God's friend in this hour? Did he still have that close friendship? In the past, he had renounced the world and he had gained this testimony that he was the friend of God. What about you tonight? Have you renounced the world and gained the testimony that you're God's man, God's woman, the friend of God? You've given up the world and repented of it. You're no longer on the side of rebellion to God. You are on the side of God Himself as His friend. You know, death for the Christian is only an advancement of fellowship with God. This was not a rending and a parting of the friendship between Abram and God, but rather this was God drawing Abram ever closer to Himself. And there is an hour when you need that fellowship and you need that peace with God. It will be when the doctor leaves you alone and he says, I can't do anything for you. And your family comes and they hold your hand and they monitor your pulse. And they ask you, are you still with us? Can you hear us? Do you understand what I'm saying? Just nod if you're with us. And when that distance enters between you and earth, and there opens up the great eternity, it's in that moment that you need to be in perfect fellowship with God. Nothing between your soul and the Savior. No unrepented sin, no unrenounced lifestyle, no wickedness harboring that is going to be keeping you from the friendship and the fellowship with God. Abram at that very hour must have been smiling. He died full, satisfied, and he knew that it was well with his soul. Could you sing along and say, it is well with my soul. It's a great thing to be living with fellowship with the Lord, that you could die in that friendship, satisfied. What a testimony Abram gave. He was also satisfied with his service. Satisfied with his service. His service to men. He settled all the issues of his home and his family. He gathered those sons, the sons of Keturah, who was his second wife, and he gave them all portions, and he sent them away. But he gave everything that he had, everything else that he had, he gave to Isaac. Now Abram had to do that because it was his promise that Isaac would be his heir. It was the basis on which Rebekah married Isaac. You remember the servant had said, Abram has given all that he has to Isaac. And so Abram kept his word to men, to his sons and to his family. And those other sons he sent away to the east. that they would not be a burden or a temptation to Isaac, who was to be the one who would possess the benefits of the spiritual covenant. And Abram organized this before he died. He didn't just write out his will and give out the instructions what are to be done when he's gone, but he made sure that he attended to these things before he died. And he was the executor of his own will, and he saw those things accomplished. And therefore, having finished his earthly work, having seen Isaac established with his wife, with his business, and as his pilgrim in Canaan, Abram could die satisfied with his service. No unfinished business on earth. Is that your state tonight? You know, every one of us ought to live in that way. Everyone ought to live as far as lies within us, that our house is set in order, that if we were snatched away in a moment, that all those things would be taken care of. Abram was satisfied with his service to men. But I think greater and more important even, he was satisfied with his service to God. 100 years as a pilgrim on the earth. Having obeyed God at the age 75, leaving Ur of the Chaldees, going into the land of Canaan, 100 years he had walked with God and he earned this friendship. What a testimony he had, a man of service and a man of sacrifice. And of course, Hebrew 11 records that he went out obeying God, not knowing whither he went. He obeyed God. I tell you, a life of obedience to God was not regretted in this hour. This hour when he came to lay down in his tent to die, he had no regrets about obeying God. No regrets about all those years before when he left Ur of the Chaldees. He could have stayed in that idolatrous city with all its riches and its comforts and pleasures. He could have sought the promotions of men, but he obeyed God and went out from among them and became a pilgrim. And let me tell you, physically, 100 years living in tents would be no comfortable lifestyle. All the uncertainty, all the changes, all the miles that he traveled and all the journeys that he made, weariness to the flesh. But he obeyed God. And it was the sacrifices that he made that brought satisfaction to his heart in his death. The things that men count sacrifices in life will bring satisfaction in death. If Abram had enjoyed riches and pleasure and entertainment and the happiness provided by men, they would have cursed him in his death if he had disobeyed God. Oh, what a testimony he had and what a peace he enjoyed. In fact, in this hour of death, the more sacrifices he made, the better. The more rewards you can look forward to when you make sacrifices for God, the more certain we will be that we have made the best use of this life. You may be here tonight counting up the life you've lived, or if you're a young person, the cost that Christianity is calling you to bear, to take up your cross and follow the Lord Jesus. And you may say, you look at other people and you see the way they live and you see the things they have and the way they're going. And you say, that's something I could have too. And tonight that's tempting you. Tonight it's beckoning you. Leave the ways of the Lord and follow the flesh. But think of the hour when you come to die. Think of the Hollywood stars when they hear the news that death is coming. Many of them can only go into deep depression and drugs. A life of sin, a life of pride, a life of ambition, a life of rebellion to God, a life of emptiness, and all their accolades and all their accomplishments and the praises of men just crumble into putty. Useless as they stare death in the face. The rich will leave their money behind. You can't take it with you. You can't take a penny of it with you. You can't take any stocks or bonds or bank accounts. Whatever you have spent with money, you may have spent it on sports or pleasure or trips or cars or houses or electronics or all those things that men crave after. You can't take one of them with you in eternity. That sports car at your deathbed would bring no satisfaction. Those riches will only curse you and call you a fool, living for me all these years, and now I can't do a thing for you. Abram was wise. He lived for God. Let's read his testimony in Hebrews 11. There you find that great reason why he made the choice that he did. And you're called to make that choice tonight. Some already doing it, paying the price to be a Christian. We're told that Hebrews 11, verse 8, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, and the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Now keep your finger in that place. The only way that you'll find satisfaction is when you know that you have served him with all of your life and all of your energy and all of your time. And on your deathbed, as you look back over your life, you may count many wasted years. There may be many regrets, years of backsliding, years of carelessness, years of sowing to the flesh. And you see it all as a void waste that cries against you, thou fool. See, Abram had a choice to make. And you're here tonight and you have a choice to make. If you're going to obey God so that at the end of your life's journey, and it's coming, I've got to tell you this, it's coming. You can't put it off. The day is set. It's fixed. It's appointed. It's on God's calendar. And on that day, you're going to need this testimony that you have really obeyed God and lived for God. You'll then have a testimony of being satisfied with your service. Can you say that tonight? What are you doing with your time? Of course, I'm not with you from Monday morning to Saturday night. I don't know. There are 24 hours in each day, and most of us need 7 or 8 hours of sleep, an hour or two to eat and rest. What about those other hours? It's what you do in your free time that really makes the difference between a worldling and a Christian. 8 hours at work, an hour commuting perhaps, that's 10 hours out of your day. 8 hours of sleep, a couple of hours of food and relaxation. You've only got an hour or two at the most each day that you can call sort of your own. That time which is either for self or for God. And that will make the difference between whether you're an Abraham or a Lot. Whether you are a man or woman living for God or really just fooling along with the world. And the difference will be that you're sowing, you're going to reap. You're going to reap. And when it comes to that hour of laying down your life, and you look back over those years, will you say they're wasted? They're now useless. They count for nothing. All the sports, all the recreation, all the money you spent on frivolous things, they count for absolutely nothing. And you die without peace, without that fullness which Abraham possessed
at the end of his life.
He was satisfied about his son. He was satisfied about his service. He was also satisfied about his soul. It says he was full or satisfied. He would not go back. He wouldn't go back. He had enough of the world. His time to leave this world had come, and he would not extend it for a day, even if he could. Abram came to that hour with peace and satisfaction because he knew that it truly was well with his soul. His soul was saved. And you remember chapter 15:6, where he believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. That really is the assurance that Abram was given. And then you go to the book of Romans, the exposition of Romans 4. Abram is the example. He believed and God put to his account gospel righteousness, the righteousness of Christ, which he received by faith. And Abram becomes now the prototype, the model, the example of a man living by faith. And he believed the promises of the gospel. His eternity was sure. He was not the least fearful of eternity. He was a man called out of this world. And he was living for that eternal city. Did you notice in Hebrews 11 and verse 10, I asked you to keep that there. Did you notice in verse 10 that he was looking for that eternal city whose builder and maker was God? For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. The Lord Jesus said to his disciples, I go to prepare a place for you, and I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. In my Father's house are many mansions. He spoke about going to prepare a place. Abram believed those same promises. And he knew that eternity would be with the Lord, that there would be a city for him where he would find the Lord. I wonder tonight, do you have that absolute certainty that your home is ready in heaven? Are you house hunting? Are you looking for that eternal home? Have you that certainty tonight that there is a place in the great eternal plan of God for you, a sinner born in sin? You've lived in sin, you've practiced sin, you've been cursed by sin, you're plagued by sin. Is there a home for you? Yes, if you will give your life to Christ. That's what Abram did. He came out of that city of idolatry at 75, and he gave his life to the Lord. And if you do that tonight, you're sure of heaven. You're sure of a home in eternity. Surely the Lord Jesus gives you those promises tonight. I go to prepare a place for you. But where I am, there ye may be also. Now his future, not only was he certain of his soul being saved and a home in heaven, but he was certain of good company, satisfied with the company. Look what it says here in Genesis 25:8, that he died in a good old age, an old man and full of years, and was gathered to his people. Gathered to his people. Who were Abram's people? Well, for by Sarah, there were none others. He was buried alongside Sarah. There was no one else in that grave site except Sarah and him. This is a reference to the heavenly saints. And all the patriarchs and all the men and women of God that went before him, Abram immediately went to join them. And here is the doctrine of the immediate transfer of the soul from the body into eternity, into the presence of God with the saints. And Abram enjoyed that. Abram was born 2 years after Noah died. You ever study the lifelines of the patriarchs? In fact, there are only about five generations from Adam right through to Moses. You study all the lengths that they lived. Some of them lived, of course, Methuselah lived 969 years. Abram went to meet all of them. He was gathered unto his people. What a company. And he would go in through that celestial city. And who would be the first to meet? I think he'd want to meet his Lord. He saw Christ's day. And when he was gathered to glory, he saw the Lord. And the moment that we're transferred from this life, that will be our first company to see the King in all His beauty. What an introduction. What an entrance to heaven. And I think the second person that Abram would want to see would be Sarah, his dear wife that had gone before him. He'd want to see her. Will we know one another in heaven? The answer to that is, we'll know more in heaven than we know down here. And if you don't know me, I know you. And in heaven, we will know one another in heaven. When Elijah, we read this morning about Moses and Elijah appearing on the Mount Transfiguration, Peter knew them right away. Never met them before in his life, but he knew them. Knew them right away. And in heaven, it is an unimaginable company of the saints. It will be a satisfying experience to be gathered with the saints. The Christian has the best of both worlds. Down here in this earth, we live in faith and we die in fellowship with God as the friend of God, and then we see our Savior. We don't have a hopeless end. We have an endless hope. For some, without the gospel, without the Lord Jesus, what can you comfort them with? What can you tell them to cheer the heart? To bring joy to their souls, to dry up their tears of sorrow. Without the Lord Jesus, it's a hopeless end. But with the Lord Jesus, there's no end to the hope. There's no end to the company. There's no end in eternity. But we must so live that we will be full and satisfied and ready for even a sudden call. And how we have learned of late that it's so possible that many of us gathered here tonight, that we may be taken from this earth by a sudden call. We don't have a time to prepare. We're not given a time, a plan of 1 week or 1 month or 1 year to live. It might be now. Do you have unfinished business tonight? Do you have to go back to your home? If you were to leave your home the way it is now, is your business on earth finished? What about between you and God? Are you living the way you want to live when you're going to meet the Lord? These are great issues. And you need to put your house in order. You need to put your life in order. There's some here, and I fear you may not have read your Bible for a long time. You may not even have tried to pray for some time. You've let things slip. The things of this earth, like weeds, have choked out the things of God. And you can't deny that you've loved it. You've enjoyed it. You know, even in the Christian, there is still a sinful nature that at times just loves to capitulate to the ways of the world. Now, in the end, it brings misery. In the end, it brings conviction of conscience. But in the going there, like the prodigal as he left home, he was on a high with expectancy. And you may be losing out. And you know that if you were to be called home to glory now, that you wouldn't be ready. In Pilgrim's Progress, there is the scene of Christian going across the river to the celestial city. Do you remember how he started off his journey? Evangelist came to him and he showed him that celestial gate. And he said, keep your eye on that celestial gate and make your journey toward it. And when he got there, he was accompanied by Hopeful. And they came to the shore of the river. And they asked around, were there any bridges or boats or any way of crossing that river to get to the celestial city? And they were told, no, every pilgrim must pass through the water. Everyone must go down into those waters to pass to the other side. They asked the man if the waters were all of a depth. And they answered, "You shall find it deeper or shallower as you believe in the King of the place." Bunyan was depicting there how the Christian might find peace in his death. You will find it deeper or shallower according as you believe in the King of the place. The only way to die satisfied and full is to die full of faith. And the stronger your faith and the stronger your hope and conviction in Christ, the easier it will be to pass over to the other side. Then Hopeful and Christian addressed themselves to the water, and when they entered, Christian began to sink. He cried out to his companion, "I sink in deep waters. The billows go over my head. All his waves go over me." But Hopeful answered, "Be of good cheer, my brother. I feel the bottom, and it is good." And with that, Christian broke out with a loud voice, "Oh, I see him again, and he tells me, 'When thou passest through the water, I will be with thee, and through the river they shall overflow thee.'" Bunyan says they both took courage, and the enemy was after that as still as a stone until they were gone over. What a wonderful allegory of the Christian's last hours of this earth. According as you believe in the King, the waters will be shallow or deep. And for the Christian, I say Christian now, the one that has let go the things of God, let go the reading of the Word and prayer, and let go the enjoyment of the saints of the Christians, or the fellowship of the Christians, and they come face to face with death, the waters will be very deep and very bitter. But to the one who is using the means of God's grace and living in faith and living in the joy of the Lord, the waters will be shallow. Are you living as you want to die? That's the question. And it's a great challenge to us all. We all get caught up in the daily routine rush of life. And there are so many things that just eat away at the spiritual times we have with God. Wednesday night comes and other things need to be done. Well, I'll go again. Let's set aside. And of course, we're living in an age today when contemporary Christians, if they can get to church for 45 minutes on a Sunday morning, they think that's all they need. And they whittle down their spiritual lives to the very bare minimum. How will they fare when they come to cross over the other side? And let me say to the older saints here tonight, some here have reached already the 70 years and 10 that God promises. Beyond that, you're on borrowed time. And I'm not far behind you. The few years between us will close, the gap will close very fast. But as we get older in the Christian life, it's not a time to slow down in the things of God. It's not a time to retire from spiritual living. It's the time to draw nearer and to follow closer and to give up more of the earthly things. And sometimes when you meet retirement age, you can set aside those earthly pressures and you can give yourself more to the things of God. How important it is to do it. What a difference it will make when you come to pass over the river and your faith is strong and you can see the King. And as you go down into the river and the waters come up upon you, you can claim that promise, "When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee." Live close to the Lord. Get as near to Him as you can. Live in His presence. Live in His joy. And let us one day come to your tent and let us find a saint passing over as Abraham, full, satisfied. Satisfied with Christ. Satisfied with your service, satisfied that your soul is safe. Tonight, cleave to Christ. Rededicate your life to Him. Consecrate your all again to Him. And you can pass through like Abram, full, satisfied. What a testimony. It was said by one of the Wesleys, John or Charles. He said of his own people, the Methodists, our people die well. They were strong in faith. They rejoiced that they were going home to glory. That cuts against human nature. Cuts against carnal thinking. But it's the resurrection hope of the Christian. It's the difference between living for self and the world and living in the fullness of God's grace. Amen. May the Lord bless and speak to your heart tonight. And if you're not saved, draw you to Himself.